On this day, about 2,000 years ago, the lives of two adopted boys intersected to make an inflection point in the history of the universe. The firstborn of the two, but the younger by an infinity, was named Gaius Octavius, and he was born in Rome on September 23rd in the year 63 BC. Even from his youth, Gaius was known for his leadership ability and military skills, and he would have had a promising career in the Roman army and politics. But when Gaius was 19 years old, his maternal great uncle died, leaving Gaius to be his adopted son and sole heir. That uncle's name was Gaius Julius Caesar, Julius Caesar. From the moment of Caesar's death, his adopted son, Octavian, was engaged in a struggle that would change the ancient Roman Republic into the Roman Empire. And in the year 38 BC, because of Octavian's victories in war, the Roman Senate bestowed on him the title Imperator Caesar, meaning Caesar the commander or emperor. Finally, in 27 BC, the triumphant Octavian was honored with the title Augustus, meaning majestic. And that is how he is known to history, the Emperor Augustus, sole ruler of the Roman Empire until his death in 14 AD, just around the time the boy Jesus was left behind in Jerusalem at Passover and was then found in the temple teaching the elders in what he described as his father's house. But the most exalted title of the Emperor Augustus was one he took to himself in 42 BC. 2 years after the death of Julius Caesar, the Senate honored him with the title Divus Julius, the Divine Julius. But if Julius was a god of Rome and Octavian was his son, then Octavian was, of course, Divi Filius, or Son of God. And it was this title that appeared on all the Roman coins bearing the image of the Emperor Augustus, Son of God. Augustus is the man who obliged Joseph and Mary to leave their home in Galilee and travel to Joseph's ancestral hometown in order to participate in the imperial census. Imagine taking a woman 9 months pregnant on a grueling winter journey of 90 miles to satisfy the demands of bureaucrats who ruled your country from 2,500 miles away. Yet such was the power of Caesar Augustus, supposed son of God, that Joseph, son of David, had no choice in this matter. And that is how the birth of the true son of God came to be in the hometown of King David, Bethlehem, a name meaning house of bread. But the child born that night was not the son of Joseph by natural generation. Instead, he was the true Son of God, the eternal Word, by whom and for whom all things were made. Jesus is the only and eternally begotten Son of God the Father, who first revealed himself to Abraham 2,000 years before God the Holy Spirit visited Mary of Nazareth and brought about the virginal conception of the Son who was destined from before time began to rule the entire universe forever from the throne of David. But although Joseph did not give life to the Lord Jesus, he did raise him as his own son, according to the command of God given by an angel, who explained to Joseph that the boy had no human father. Joseph was a direct descendant of King David, and in Joseph's obedience of faith, he became the adoptive father of Jesus, and thus made it possible for the Messiah to be truly the son of David. And when the Lord Jesus grew to manhood, he then taught the world how to live and love in keeping with his Father's eternal plan of salvation. And then Christ offered his life, as St. Paul explains in our second lesson, to deliver us from all lawlessness, and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. All of that was to come 3 decades after Christ's birth. But now we linger at the Christmas crib and consider these 2 adopted boys, one of whom seemed all-powerful, while the other appeared to be of no account. Gaius was adopted by Julius, and Jesus was adopted by Joseph. And though they never met in this life, the 2 adopted boys intersected briefly to bring about a moment in world history which was decreed before the universe was made from nothing. And so it was that simple shepherds in a field near Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flock by night, became the first to hear the gospel, the good news of redemption for every man, woman, and child who will ever live. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." 2 millennia later, we still sing that hymn at Christmas and on all the Sundays of the year outside of Advent and Lent. And the Western Church sings that song of the angels for the Lord Jesus in the same language spoken by Augustus and all the emperors of Rome. Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra pax hominibus bone voluntatis. Yes, Gaius Octavius, the Emperor Augustus, was one of the most able men ever to govern human affairs, and he launched the Pax Romana, a period of remarkable stability and productivity that laid the foundation for European civilization and allowed the church to spread quickly in her first centuries. But neither Octavian nor his uncle Julius was divine. They were both, to be sure, men of great energy and vision, but they were only men. They lived and they died, as do we all. But today we rejoice in another adopted son of a royal house, a family whose authority and dignity had been forgotten during long centuries of obscurity and poverty. And although the Lord Jesus, the adopted son of Joseph, did die one day, he also then rose again to new and everlasting life, and so was revealed to all the world to be what was known only by a few on that night in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus is the child born for us, the Son given to us, our wonderful Counselor, mighty God and Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah promised long ages ago by the prophet Isaiah. The Lord Jesus is the divine Redeemer, whose death and resurrection is our deliverance from sin and death, and our entrance, by grace through faith, into the perfect freedom of the children of God. The children of God, by the grace of adoption. At his resurrection, the Lord Jesus gave the world his peace, a peace beyond all understanding, a peace which fills the hearts and minds of all who know him to be the Son of God, and who follow him in the way of the cross. We may hope that after the Paschal mystery was revealed, even Gaius Octavius came to know, love, and serve the only truly majestic ruler of the cosmos, and that he stands now at the throne of grace, not as the majestic Emperor Augustus, but as a simple and faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the wonder of wonders is that at the throne of grace, all the disciples of Christ are exalted in glory far higher than any emperor could imagine. And this is so because Christ's gift of redemption is crowned by our share in the eternal glory of God the Son. All who are forever alive in Christ will be the adopted sons and daughters of God because we are brothers and sisters of the one who is the Son of Mary and the adopted son of Joseph. A man like us in all things but sin, but who is also light from light and true God from true God, the eternal Word made flesh. And that, friends, is the admirabile commercium et manu mysterium that we celebrate at Christmas, the wondrous exchange and great mystery of the incarnation is that God became man so that men could become divine by the grace of adoption. The Lord Jesus humbled himself to share in our humanity so that we could share in his divinity. And that miracle of grace, which changed the eternal destiny of the entire human race, came to pass in one little town, in one particular time and place, described with great precision both by St. Luke in his Gospel and by the Church's ancient Christmas proclamation, which reads in part, "In the year 752, since the foundation of the city of Rome, in the 42nd year of the reign of Caesar Octavian Augustus, the whole world being at peace, Jesus Christ, eternal God and Son of the eternal Father, desiring to consecrate the world by his most loving presence, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and when 9 months had passed since his conception, was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judah, and was made man. The Nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Come, let us adore him."